Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you all here. Did the kids sneak out quietly already? Wow, that was like quiet as a mouse. Didn't even hear them. So welcome if you're visiting for the first time here at Lake Burien Press. We're glad that you've chosen to be with us this morning. And you're coming into a sermon series of which this is the last sermon on this topic. And what we've been talking about is stewardship. It's the way that we understand how God has called us to take care and to manage God's resources in all the ways that they come to us. We've defined stewardship as the faithful practice of managing what God has given, beginning first with the reminder that everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it belongs to God. We sang a song earlier. It's your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out our praise. It's God's breath in us, and we return that gift of breath of life in praise and honor to God. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, all that we have, all that we are, everything belongs to God. Our time, our money, our resources, our work, our play, our education, our marriages, our families, our children, our homes, our health, our ministry, this church, and even our very breath belongs to God. The very fullness of our lives belongs to Him. And so I'm hoping that you're getting the picture that really we don't have anything of our own that didn't come from God. We maybe have used what God has given to us to do good things, and in those good things have come good things to us, but still everything belongs to God. And so the journey of discipleship is opening our hands and letting go of those things back to God, to do what God intends with those things. And sometimes what we do is we take these things, our work, our play, our families, our time, our money, and we kind of do this funny thing with it that says, we're going to do all of what we want first, and whatever we have left, we give back to God. And in the second sermon series, the second sermon that I talked about was this interesting thing that happened in Genesis with Cain and Abel. And they both brought offerings to God, and with one of them, God was not as pleased with the other, right? Which, if you've read that story, you're kind of like me going, well, that doesn't seem very nice of God, that he's judging the way that people give. But actually what's happening in that story is that God is looking at the intent of the heart, that some of us, as depicted in this story, some of us give our first and our best to God. And then some of us give out of what is left over. We give our first and best to other things, and then what's ever left over, we give to God. And I was talking about this one with one of our young people, and she said, I'd never really thought about that. Because I arrange my schedule to do everything else first, my studies, my job, my schooling. I arrange my schedule around those things first. And whatever time I have left, then I give that time to God. And the journey of discipleship is to really examine the way that we're prioritizing our lives, best and first to God. And, you know, those words are hard for me to say because I'm not a person generally in my life that kind of compartmentalizes things like that. But for myself, it became a real convicting thought about where does Lena Thompson put her best and first, her first effort, right? How do I, in my own life, and it's, some of you may think, well, that's easy for you to do that because this is what you get, quote unquote, you know, in crass terms, paid to do, right? And yet still God says to me, Lena, are you giving your first and your best to me? And in the overflow of that, the ministry that God has called us all to take care of is something that God will bless and ensure. Amen? And so the challenge in this series has been to be reminded that everything belongs to God. And in that freedom of knowing where it comes from, who it belongs to, how we are created, the other parts of our life gets ordered. Someone in the congregation a few weeks ago just said it makes sense now, because if you get the first thing first and you get it right, then the priorities will follow. Amen? And so sometimes we all are called in very busy lives and demanding lives and people and things pulling from us the very best of our energy, the very best of our time, the very best of our creativity. We all have those stories that we're managing all the pressure and the demands that are coming from the outside of who we are. And we forget to stay centered on who we are in Christ and where those things come from. And if we can get that part more and more faithfully in order, then the other things will follow. This is the model for our giving. It's kind of in addition to, I'm not even talking about amount. That was last week's sermon on the amount. I'm not talking about amount. I'm not talking about how much money you give or how much time you give. What God is after is kind of a heart that leans towards God first, that leans towards God in everything. And I try to be in that practice. I'm not perfect. I fail at it on a regular basis. But with all of us as a community of practice, we practice our faith, we practice it, and we don't give up, and we keep practicing, even though sometimes we fall short. We can do that in the safety of a community that understands that we are practicing faith. We practice our faith together. The story that we talked about last week was the story of the widow who came to Jesus in the temple. She was poor. She had nothing in addition to her poverty. We learn from that story that even the institution of the church, even the religious institution, were complicit in her poverty, because they were accepting money from the poor, women, widows who had nothing and were already poor, and really making folks feel like they continue to have to give out of this poverty, and they were benefiting. Amen? And so in our conversations about stewardship and about responsibility, we have an individual responsibility to steward the resources that God has given us for the glory and the service of God, and also as a community of faith to make sure that we are being responsible with what God has given, and that what God has given gets released and blesses the folks who are oftentimes super, super vulnerable. And so what we've learned about stewardship, it's about giving, and it's also probably even more about the heart that gives. What is in our heart? Are we giving begrudgingly? Are we giving out of kind of an obligatory thing, right? Or is our heart more and more being shaped into the generous kind of heart and giving heart and servant heart that God put in us? The heart is there. God put it there. It's already, you are already people created with the capacity to give that came from God. And somehow in our world, we get that a little bit skewed. So I want you to know you are already created by God to be people who give. Amen? And to give with a good heart. This good heart image is one I can hear my mother often. And I think I've shared this. Lena, you better give with a good heart. You better give with a good heart, Lena. You better wash dishes with a good heart. You better clean the house with a good heart. And I'm like, okay, Mom, you're taking this a little bit too far. And one day I remember my mom, I must have been like in junior high or high school. My mother told me to go outside and sweep the front porch. And I was like, ugh. Now, mind you, our front porch is like not even big, right? If I understood, it takes maybe like 5 sweeps. But I was in junior high, and I'm like, oh, this is such a chore, really. And so she actually asked me several times, Lena, go sweep the front porch. And finally I said, fine. And we weren't allowed to talk back to my parents. So it was more like, So I took the broom, and I went out on the front porch. Now our front porch sits right in front of our front window. And I'm sweeping, and I must have looked crazy, because I was sweeping like I was mad at something. I was like, you know, and I think my mouth was kind of going. And my mother was inside watching. And after a few sweeps, my mother came out of the front door, and she grabbed the broom, and she said, you should do that with a good heart. Give me that broom. She did this all in Samoan. And she took the broom from me and she swept me with the broom. And those of you that know what I'm talking about know what I mean, right? She swept me all the way across the porch. And the whole time was saying to me this thing that I keep hearing in my head, where is your heart? Where is your heart to serve? Where is your heart, Lena, to give and be part of this family? Where is your heart to actually do a little thing like sweep a porch that's maybe 10 feet at the most? So this idea of doing things in service with a good heart is something that's deeply, when I hear good heart, that's my mother, Sala Thompson, God rest her soul, this is the voice that I hear. The scripture says this, you know, God doesn't really delight in our gifts of sacrifice anyway. God really, truly, God has all things. God has given us all things. God doesn't need us to do them, but he's challenging us to give them and to do this service out of a heart. This says, my sacrifice is a broken and contrite heart that God will not despise. And so the challenge for us as we think about stewardship is, you know, man, where's our heart? Where's our heart and our love? You know, what I love about worship, for me personally, worship is a space where I am reminded. If I don't have that time and space every day of my life during the week, when I come here, this is the place that I'm reminded of who I am in relationship to who God is. This is why worship is important. This is why coming to a common place of worship, it's so good for our souls because it reminds us we, in this space, we are in proper position to who God is in our lives. It's a space where we remember that it is God that has given us everything. It's a space that we're reminded that we're nothing without God's breath in our life, without the resources that God has given us to actually leave this place and go do the thing that we're going to go do tomorrow. It begins with God. And I like Sunday because this is the place where that reminds me of that. And that's me personally about why worship and community and gathering is important, because it's a place where I feel like in singing and in praising God, I remember, oh, right, everything belongs to God. And what I do after this comes from that reminder. Amen. Let me read the passage of scripture that I'm going to just share a little bit about. It comes from 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind. If you want to follow, it's 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all of its forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should also do so with the strength that God provides, so that all things God can be praised through Jesus Christ. To God be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to invite Adele to come forward. And Adele is one of these people who, as I've met her over the years, she's someone, and if you know Adele, she kind of exudes this spirit of hospitality. And so while we've been talking about what the ministry of the church is, I've asked different people to come and share what it is that they've learned about their gifts, how they offer their gifts back to God. And so, Adele.
Good morning. So I grew up in a family of five, and I was the youngest. And every Sunday we would travel from West Seattle to Ballard to Calvary Lutheran Church. For those of you younger folks, there was no freeway or viaduct, so you had to really want to go praise the Lord to go from West Seattle to Ballard. Mom was a Sunday school teacher and Dad was in the choir, and at the time in my young mind, I thought of them as like having a job. And one day I was being a surly little girl. There was no good in my heart that morning, and I was about 8 years old, and delaying my family from leaving for church. My mom knelt down lovingly and said, in effect, "You are not the single most important person in this family. We are one family, and you are holding up this family. You are also holding up our church family, who will be waiting for us and expecting us." That was my first memorable recognition of stewardship. It turns out it wasn't a job for my mom and dad. They thought of it as family waiting for us and expecting us. I realized that if it was family to them, that there was such love associated with attending church, it meant it had to be family to me, and God was at the center. I learned from my family that we have to be respectful of that relationship and what is asked of us and expected of us. It wasn't a job. They loved doing it, and it was their gift back. Fast forward to today, and I do see all of you as my church family. And like many in this sanctuary, when I am able, I feel blessed to offer my time to those who have a need. There is a special relationship that happens when you can take a meal to someone's home at a time of need or to run an errand for them, and it is especially a time of grace to be able to pray with them in their home. This is merely an analogy, but at times when I haven't felt like answering the phone call, like my heart is not feeling good, because life might seem too busy and I might even feel crabby, I look over at the caller ID and it says God. And so I answer, and then it is figured out, and I'm the beneficiary after all. I believe that each of us is gifted and that God does not love one gift more than another. So just use your gift. If it is money, time, talent, or some combination, please just reach out and give back to your church family and to God. Thank you.
And if you've had a chance to know Adele, she's become somebody, and there's a few of you in this congregation that are the same, that when something happens, she's one of the first people that I call to do exactly what she said, to visit somebody, to invite me to go with her to visit somebody, to pray. Lori Wright is another person. Melinda Mackey O'Brien is another person. There are many of you that are doing things kind of behind the scenes that nobody really notices necessarily, but I just want you to know that if you're one of these people, that God sees the good work that you're doing and the way that you're offering what I think is this notion of hospitality that this passage of Scripture is speaking about. And I want to expound a little bit on that idea of hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Biblically, hospitality can be defined in this way. It's the quality or the disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm and friendly and generous way. And I didn't know this until much recently, that in the New Testament, the Greek word, when it's translated to us in our English word, hospitality, we lose a lot of what is there. When we think hospitality, my nephew works at Washington State in the business school, in the School of Hospitality. Right? And so we talk about hospitality like it's an industry. That's the way that we understand hospitality. It's when every, you know, the towels match and, you know, all the dishes match and, you know, everything looks good and feels good. But that is not the biblical understanding of hospitality. In fact, hospitality is derived from two words. The first word is phileo, which we know kind of is this brotherly love. It's the sibling kind of love. That's the first part of the word hospitality. And the second part of the word is this word that's called xenos. Phileo xenos is the word that's put together that we then translate as hospitality. Phileo xenos is the love of a brother or sister, a brotherly love. Xenos, get this, is the love of a stranger and an immigrant. Xenos is the word that comes out of, when we talk about xenophobia, we are talking about the fear of a stranger, an alien, an immigrant. And so oftentimes when we talk about this in the Christian context and people want to push this notion of hospitality to be welcoming and loving, loving others, loving the stranger, loving the immigrant, like a sibling, That's what hospitality is. Hospitality in its biblical understanding isn't just, it includes making people feel welcomed, but it also stretches our imagination about who is welcome and how are they welcomed. The stranger, the immigrant, the alien, the foreigner, the other is welcomed with us as a sibling. Phileo xenos, that's hospitality. And so when we read it and God is saying, be hospitable, when the invitation of Scripture is to be hospitable, I want us to start thinking about what that means for us as individuals and for us continually as a community of faith. I believe that Lake Burien, we are that place, I hope, where we are hospitable and treat others like siblings. Amen. And some of us, you know, we don't pick our siblings now, do we? We don't pick them. But they are who they are to us. And that's what I think the invitation in this particular passage is. The one who loves strangers like you would your own brother or sister. And then there's this other part of this passage. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. It doesn't say those of you who have received gifts, use them. It says each of you who have received. So that says to me that as I'm looking out, every one of you has a gift from God to be stewarded on behalf of other people. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the words of God. If anyone serves, they should do with the strength and the might and the vigor that God provides, so that in all things God can be praised in Christ. Over the recent months, I've been seeing a lot on Facebook and hearing a lot of this phrase, I'm living my best life. How many of you have heard that, seen that, said that? I am living my best life, which, you know, come on, I'm living my best life. And, you know, what's all tucked away in that? And here's what I hear. It's a powerful statement. It speaks of being empowered. It speaks of gratitude. It speaks of fulfillment. It speaks of joy, which is all wonderful, absolutely. Placed in the context of stewardship and discipleship, there's more to that statement than I'm just living my best life. To live our best lives to what end and for what purpose? Living our best life to what end? Is it just for you to live your best life? I don't think so. It's understood in the context of what God has given and what God has given for us to do together. In August, many of you were able to see this. We were invited by Linaya, Chris and Tally's daughter, to come down and watch a musical. It's the teen summer musical that happens every summer out of the Langston Hughes Cultural Arts Center in the Central District. And 60 to 70 teenagers put on this amazing production of Cinderella with a twist. Cinderella with a Motown twist. And it was a beautiful production. Amazing music, acting, and dancing. And Linaya was a part of this production. And a few weeks later, and I remember sitting in the audience, and Linaya was part of the backup singers, and they were up on the balcony, and I was watching her, and I'm like, it's such a beautiful thing to see people do what they're created to do. We all come alive. And a few weeks after the show, Tally posted on Facebook that Linaya had said to him, I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. And here's what I understand. I believe that when she said that, what she was experiencing was the glory of God fully alive in her. Right? There's a saying that Saint Irenaeus, who is alive in the second century, he coined this phrase, which says, the glory of God is humanity fully alive. The glory of God is found in humanity fully alive. That's what I saw in Linaya. That's what I saw in all these kids, was the glory of God. humanity, what they were created to do, fully alive on this stage at Ben Arroyo Hall. That's what we steward. The glory of God is humanity fully alive is a really pithy theological statement about anthropology. It's what God is saying about humans, what God is saying about humanity, what God is saying about you, what God is saying about the body of Christ of which we are a part, that the glory of God will come alive in us when we find and live into the purpose and the gifts that God has already put in us. Amen? So we say around here that our mission is the gospel fully alive. Fully alive. And we're on a journey to understand what all that means in each of us. The last part of this verse says, steward of God's grace in all of its forms. God's grace, accepting others, providing space for people to just be who they are. God's grace, accepting others. God's grace, God's forgiveness. God's grace, welcoming the stranger. God's grace, extending ourselves. God's grace, your gifts, your talents, in whatever form they come, fully alive in us. What does this practically mean? You know, we have a lot of opportunities for folks to serve. I want to remind you that we're a volunteer organization. There's plenty of places for you to plug in and also to offer. If you have something in you that you really want to offer in service to God, then please call me. May the glory of God live in you fully alive as you find out and examine what it is that God has given for you to do and to offer that in the end belongs to him anyway. He created you, gave that gift to you, wants to release that gift into the world. Amen.